Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Now is the time to trim your lamps and get ready for the coming of the Lord.
Friends, the Lord is coming soon. Are you ready? Join us now for the Midnight Cry broadcast.
Well, praise the Lord. It is good to be together again. I don't think we realize many times just how much we need the Lord and the fellowship of His people. And I just praise Him this morning for His faithfulness to us when we are in such need. You know, I guess funny how it is, how the Lord expects me to walk in what I preach. But anyway, you know, most of the times when I come in here, I'm saying, Lord, is this really you? And you're just going to have to take over. So that's certainly where I'm at. But, you know, I always have to go back to what Paul went through. And I'm certainly no Paul, but the principles apply. That Paul reached a time when he was weak and being oppressed of the enemy. And yet the Lord told him the answer wasn't getting rid of the enemy. The answer was leaning on my strength, because my grace is enough. I will give you enough. I mean, that was quoted this morning. And so that's my hope, and I think that needs to be every one of our hope. We just need to realize the way things are. You know, it seems like every year we come into convention, and you can almost see the devil saying, wait a minute, we got a convention coming. It's time to everybody to get going. Every spirit, work on every victim that you've been assigned to, and you need to start pushing their buttons, and you need to really bear down, and let's get them so entangled in whatever their weaknesses are that they just aren't really spiritually ready and free. Of course, that applies to nobody, right? Yeah. You know, I appreciate so much the gathering we had Wednesday night, and I especially appreciate Scott's contribution. You know, he asked special prayer for a weakness, something that he tended to go through in his life a lot. Don't have to go into the details. I don't think he'd mind, but still. You know, I appreciate the honesty and the reaching out. But, you know, as I listened to him, my reaction was, well, there isn't a person here that if we were honest, we couldn't say the same thing in one area or another. It might not be the same thing, but there are ways that the devil knows how. He knows how to push our buttons. He knows how to oppress. He knows how to work on weaknesses that he's probably cultivated there to begin with, regardless of whether they're, you know, things like fear and anxiety, or whether they're lusts or you know, what we call besetting sins, recurring. But the devil knows how to push our buttons. And as I thought about this and thought about, you know, the way the enemy comes at me when we come into a meeting and I suddenly feel, you know, I feel pressure. I feel weak. You know, if I went by how I felt, I would just go somewhere. Nobody knows exactly, right? Nobody ever feels that way. But the reality is this is the way it is, and God wants us to help, wants us to understand some basic things that we've talked about so many times. That's another reason, another thing I fight when I come in here. Lord, we've talked about this all the time. It doesn't make any sense to just regurgitate. But we don't need regurgitation. We need the Lord to speak what's relevant to the need right now. And somehow I feel like this is. And the word that came to me was overcoming. And how many of you know that that's what the Christian life is about? Is about overcoming. And I thought, I don't want to get into the details so much of this, but you know, in Revelation chapters 2 and 3, we have letters from Jesus to churches. And each church was in a particular situation. The need was a little bit different. And yet there were some common themes, weren't there? You know, he went to the church, wrote to the church in Ephesus, and boy, they had it all down, didn't they? I mean, they were believing all the right stuff, they were doing all the right stuff, but there was a problem, wasn't there? And the Lord pointed out, you lost your first love. And you see what the Lord was focusing on, how the enemy had actually fooled the people into thinking that if I just keep doing the right things, and I'm not wavering in my beliefs, I'm still doing everything I'm supposed to do, that everything is good. And how easily does a relationship become religion when that happens? And so there's a danger that the Lord wanted to specifically point out in that church and say, you know, you got a need here. I want this to be a personal one-on-one relationship with me, so that what you do is not done out of a heart of duty or habit, but there is a genuine love that's going back and forth between us. And also, I want to shed that love through you. And if you're leaving your first love, you know, my biggest commandment to you is what? Love one another. Well, how do we do that? We're going to have love that doesn't originate in us. It's going to have to come from the Lord Himself. It's going to have to be able to flow into our hearts, and then our focus is going to have to be on others so that it can flow out to others. So you see where the Lord was putting His finger on a particular need, and there was a particular word that they needed. They just didn't need, you know, well, okay, now we're on page such and such of our theology book, and let's not forget how we do church. God was always very specific. And so, of course, He comes to the end, and whoever has ears, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And then there's promises to the one who is, in this translation, victorious, but the original word obviously is the same, the one who overcomes. One is victorious, and then there are promises that God gives. This is the focus. And of course, you know, very quickly, just running through what these churches went through, the second one actually was doing everything right. There wasn't any focus on, hey, you're messed up here, you're coming short here. Rather, they were in a place of persecution. And so God gave them words of encouragement. I know how you stood your ground, and guess what? There's more coming. God's going to kill some of you. And the Lord was giving them a word of encouragement, but then a promise. You know, hear what I'm saying. And to him that overcomes, there's a great promise and a great hope. All right? And of course, the next one, you had some people there that were, they had experienced some persecution. And then some of them had the goods, but boy, there were some problems there, weren't there? You had some people that had all kinds of false motives and false doctrines. We're not going into the details. It was leading people astray. It was trying to inject into the gospel a compromise with the flesh and with human ambition, whatever it was. I'll tell you, if we're not careful, the devil will soften the gospel, will misdirect it, will inject his ideas into it, and it really won't be the Lord. And all of a sudden, instead of serving him, we're serving us. And so he was warning them and warning them to repent. There was a real sin here. There was a real need in the church, and the church wasn't facing it and dealing with it. Okay? And then he says, you know, repent. There's a call to repent. And then whoever has ears to hear, and to the one who is victorious, you have that same element in every one of these letters. There's something to overcome here. Okay? And then the next one, the church of Thyatira, had kind of a similar thing. You had a woman who had somehow styled herself as a prophetess. Where do you suppose she got her inspiration from? And she was, again, injecting something into the gospel, but there probably was a supernatural element. Oh my God, this lady's, it's not just her, there's something supernatural behind it. It must be God. Oh, we need to seek the one who is the head of the church. And we need to have ears that are willing to hear his voice. Because his voice was, there was no compromise in the voice. I've called on her to repent. She hasn't. I'm going to put her in a bed of suffering. I'm going to deal with this. My judgment is coming. And there's some of you that haven't gone along. You hang on. You hold what you got. But there was a real need that of overcoming in that particular context. And of course, then you had one that, there was a church that had a reputation for being alive, but they were dead. I wonder how much of religion, Christian religion, that applies to. God help us. So there was a need there. There was a need to wake up, strengthen what remains. Now, the only way the Lord could have said that was if there were some of his people there, and there were. And so God was calling upon them to wake up. You suppose that might just be appropriate? Everything about the spirit of this world is going to put us to sleep if we let it. And listen to the promise of God. Let's see, remember? All right, actually it's a warning, but there's a promise built into it. If you do not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you will not know at what time I will come to you. But what's the promise that's kind of baked into that? If you do wake up, and you walk with, and you're in tune with me, that my coming's not going to surprise you. Isn't that what Paul said? But my coming, that day will not surprise you like a thief. That doesn't mean we're going to know the day and the hour, but I'll tell you, God's people that are in tune with him, isn't that a theme you get throughout this? You better be in tune and listening. I want you to have ears that are constantly tuned to heaven so that I can talk to you about what's needed right here and right now. Because there are things that I have allowed in your path that need to be overcome. Okay? So anyway, so there's a word of encouragement and warning and all baked into one. And so he's encouraging those who haven't gotten in that condition. All right? I've got promises for you. Just listen. The one is victorious, and then there are promises about that. Church of Philadelphia. They were doing good, basically. They were the church of brotherly love. That's what the word Philadelphia means. And he says, you have little strength. So this wasn't even a people who were just, hey, you guys are strong. This was, you have little strength. But yet there was a word of encouragement, wasn't there? You ever feel that way? I just don't have what it takes. Lord, I'm just so weak. Every one of us, if we're honest, we feel that way because it's the truth. And yet here's the Lord giving them a word of encouragement. But what they have done with the strength that God has given them, they have stood fast, they have faced persecution, they face slander, they face whatever the enemy has thrown against them. And the promise is, you endure patiently, I'm going to keep you from the hour of trial. I'm going to be with you to the end. Remember that was said this morning? I'm going to be there. There's a lot of things going to happen, but don't worry, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Okay? The one who is victorious, I'll make a pillar in the temple of my God, and so forth. Whoever has ears to hear, let him hear. And then, of course, the Laodicean church, who had gotten to the point where they were doing everything right outwardly. They had it all, but they were in a prosperous situation. Do you see the wisdom of God in putting us in situations where we feel our need? What happens when the Lord allows the sun to shine and the bank accounts to be full and everything, business is great? How does that help spiritual progress? It doesn't do it. It causes us to go to sleep.
The message you have heard is part of a regular church service recorded as it was being ministered. CD and DVD copies of this service in its entirety are available. To assist with postage and processing costs, an offering of $5 is suggested for CDs and $10 for DVDs. Please identify the station over which you have heard this broadcast and provide the broadcast date when ordering. You may also receive our quarterly publication, The Midnight Cry Messenger, which is mailed out free and postage paid to all who request it. Our mailing address is Midnight Cry Ministries, Post Office Box 685, Southern Pines, North Carolina 28388. Or you may choose to visit us on the World Wide Web at www.midnightcry.org.
And now, may God richly bless you until our next broadcast.